regulated by way of a market and environmental authorization from it is all the respective environmental departments in the provinces. Now, as I said, environmental authorization, especially the authorization, creates a specific meaning within the context of an industry that is already licensed. And this is where the challenge comes in. You have an industry that in order for them to be operational, they have to be licensed. Any mining operation that is not licensed is illegal. So what we are then being required to do is not pretending that this is a licensed activity. We still have to license them in terms of the environment. And we say this is creating the space. In the process of accessing an application, what CMD normally does, which is a requirement by law, which this committee is debated in 2002, and also passed in 2002 and came into operation in 2004, is that when someone applies, we look at that applicant's technical ability, we look at that applicant's financial ability, we look at compliance with environment, we look at compliance with mine organization, and if it is mine, we look at the issues around social and labor care. So these are the elements that we look. And the question for us then is, why don't we then license all those jurisdictional facts? In other words, if someone wants to apply for a mining license, that we then say you must apply for it in a mining work program authorization. So we then license every jurisdictional fact, so that at the end of the day, we then grant the right. Let me emphasize again, there is nothing within the department that says mining companies must not comply with the environmental requirements. What we are against is investigation. We are emphasizing that authorization creates confusion in the text. It may be appropriate for the building of our station. It may be appropriate for building a road. It may be appropriate for construction of a dam. It is not appropriate for the mining sector because authorization within this sector has a specific meaning. If we were to look at the NEMA 24A, it says that an environmental authorization must at the minimum ensure that adequate provision is made for the ongoing management and monitoring of the impact of the activity on the environment throughout the life of the activity. If you were to go to section 38, 39, 40, 41 of the NPRDA regulation, you will see that those elements are catered for. So, looking then, going back to the this concept of our harmonization, where we say we are going to take the norms and standards and then conceptualize, we are of the view that the best element and the most appropriate one for us to use is the concept of environmental management program and environmental management plan. Why are we saying that? Mining is not a one-stop activity. Mining is not the building of a power station. Mining is not the building of a road. Nor is mining the building of a dam. Mining takes place for a very long time, and as it goes, the operation continues. It has a continuous impact on the environment. And that impact on the environment must be managed. That is why then, in the department, we then thought that the best way for us then to regulate the impact on the environment is for us to manage that impact. And that is again the reason why in the sector we prefer to call it an environmental management program. So there is nothing that would then say if there is an environment, in other words, people are falling in love with the concept of environmental authorization, there is nothing that would stop us from saying an environmental authorization in NEMA is deemed to be an environmental management program in terms of the NPRDA. Because the intention at the end of the day to manage the impact on the environment. But again, going back to the industry, an authorization here, an authorization that we have to do. If people want them to align the system, let's align the system and not be just like a it has to be an environmental authorization. And this is already creating a problem to us in this province, in the Western Cape, where we companies are already receiving letters from possibly over legal officials, where they are saying you have to stop your operation because you don't have an environmental authorization. It's already happened. Why? Because of this confusion that is being created. On the matter of competent authority, we are agreed on the view that this portfolio committee debated it in 2002 and the National Assembly passed it, that indicated that the Minister of Minerals and Energy is responsible for the administration of the whole MPRDA from the first stage to the last stage. In other words, this portfolio committee in Parliament has identified the Minister of Minerals and Energy as the competent authority to deal with matters relating to mining. And matters relating to mining are expansive. Now, within the context of the environment, it would not make sense to take one portion out and say you are responsible for that and you deal with that. Let me just contextualize it. In assessing mining applications, prospecting applications, there are a number of elements that could possibly interest another department. Let me give you an example. For instance, the social endeavor plan. If one were to follow the route of everything environment that is given by this, one could also then argue that everything relating to social has to be done by the Department of Social Development because we deal with socio-economic development issues. So this is the extreme that one can say. Everything relating to labor, we can then deal with another department. These are the extremes that one can take. If they say things to harmonize, let's look at those elements that take us out of the alignment and address them. Because our view is the NPRDA in its totality is not outside the framework of NIMS. It's not. Because Section 38 says that we are going to be guided by NIMS. So there is no disalignment. Then maybe because of the development in NIMS, there could possibly be those elements that may not be addressed in the NPRDA because NPRDA was passed in 2002. There may be other results of that development. But in terms of the overall concept of NIMS, the NPRDA is not misaligned. If there are elements that have to be aligned, it can then be done and align them. But what it seems to me, and looking again at the section of NIMS, section 24F, that says, notwithstanding the provision of any other act, no person may command any activity listed unless the competent authority has granted an environmental authorization. In other words, what was a framework legislation when it was passed, it has not become a regulatory tool, would then mean any activity that is listed unless you have an environmental authorization, you cannot take place. So, is the final arbiter on whether listed activity should commence or not. So why the question is, why didn't I have a mining authorization? You can then take out the mining authorization and say you deal with the environment as if you are dealing with a power station and this is going to license everything. Some may say that the amendments are proposing to identify the Minister of Energy as a competent. NIMA in itself, section 24C, saying how to identify the person as a competent authority. And it says, when listing activities in terms of section 24.2, the minister. So it is at the time when he celebrated Sabbath. It's not after the day. So even if they want to propose, unless they are proposing an amendment to him, even if they say in terms of this amendment, where they define the minutes of men of the energy as the competent authority. Number two, my little understanding of law is that the president, when he appoints, he or she appoints the minister, gives them competence. And in terms of Section 92 of the Constitution, deputy president and the minister must execute the functions that have been assigned to by the president. What is happening here is one minister possibly assigning power to parliament as already assigned to the Minister of Mineral Energy, to the Minister of Mineral Energy, because identifying the Minister of Mineral Energy as a competent authority at this stage would have made sense if, in terms of the NDRPA, the Minister of Mineral Energy did not have environmental power, not a power to deal with environmental issues in terms of mining. Let's not ignore it. MDRDA, that is identified the Minister of Minerals and Energy as the administrator of the MDRDA. Therefore, the MDRDA is already identified the Minister of Minerals and Energy as the competent authority for matters dealing with environment in mind. So any subsequent identification would not make sense. One, not make sense because Parliament is already identified. Two, would not make sense because the requirements of NEMA, 24/6 says when legal. And when you exercise, when does not mean after you have listed, you can then identify the Minister of Minerals as a competent authority. So from the perspective of GME, number one, no mining operation commences without an approved GMT. It is also registered in NEMA. If we look at section 5.4.8 of the MDRDA, it is also registered in NEMA, and NEMA says, notwithstanding the provision of NFS, no person may commence with any activity. Same interpretation. MDRDA already says, you are, and let me read it for you, for the sake of the portfolio committee. Section 5, subsection 4, subparagraph 8 of the MDRDA, as it stands now. No person may prospect for or remove, mine, conduct technical operations, reconnaissance operations, explore for, and produce any mineral or petroleum, or commence with, and this is the same thing we already said. Let me my duty to commence with any work incidental thereto on any area without an approved environmental management program or an approved environmental management plan, as the case may be. It is that. So NEMA has also got the present thing, just the only thing that we have is notwithstanding any other request, but the NCRDA already has that condition. So we have never issued a license. And I'm using the license in a generic form. We have never used the license under the NDRDA, or which is completely different from what used to happen in terms of the Mineral Act. In terms of the Mineral Act, you issue the license first and then approve the EMT. This is how it used to be. In terms of the NDRDA, you approve the EMT first and then you grant the right. So, there is synchronization already, there is an alignment already. It is not mis-as, there is no misalignment. Possibly the only misalignment that people can then allege is that the MDRDA you are calling it environmental management program or environmental management plan, and in NEMA you are calling it an environmental authorization. This is the only misalignment. But our argument is, because this is already a license set, the most appropriate terminology for us to use is the program and the plan. Because it indicates to get the impression, the perception in the mining sector that there is a continuous management of the index on the environment. And authorization in the mining sector is one stop. You see, it does not create the impression in the mind that it is a continuous thing. But this is what I'm saying. The separation is more on the terminology, not on the content of that concept. Because even in Lima, the concept of ongoing management, those who have read the regulations in terms of the MDRDA will see that there is a requirement of ongoing management. Section 38, 39, 40, and 41 also indicate that element of ongoing. The element of monitoring is also there. In terms of the MDRDA regulation, if I'm not mistaken, I think companies have to at least on every year review and conduct audits. But also in terms of our own administrative activities, we conduct inspections on the CME side. But also companies are also required to avoid a continuous basis to do their monitoring. Funny enough, the issue of property, when you issue a license, and I think later on we are going to raise the issue of definition of mining tax. We also identify the property and it describes it in the form of a diagram. We also specify the value. We specify it here. I'm looking at it, comparing with the 2024 year of NEMA. Interestingly, we also make provision for transfer of environmental identity. This is contained in section 43.2 of the MDRDA. So a lot of things that are being raised in, especially in the amendment of 2004, came one after the MDRDA came into operation. But these are elements that the MDRDA itself has already addressed. We deal with the grant of environmental ability. We don't necessarily deal with the grant of the right, but when we know when the right is done, because companies, when they want to transfer a site to another firm, in terms of the NDRDA section 11, they have to apply for that section for that transfer. In the process of transfer, we also try to see whether the acquirer is going to be able to comply with the environmental requirements. So in that process, a transfer takes place. There is also the term of environmental abilities in terms of section 43.2. So, a lot of things have already been aligned. A lot of things have already been harmonized. What is being requested now is to adoption of the terminology called environmental authorization. And this is where argument comes. It is not a correct one to be used in the mining sector. It is going to create confusion. It is already creating confusion. There is a principle in law that says the parliament does not pass laws to create a citizen. Parliament will not pass laws to create confusion. And what is happening now? Specifically in the mining sector, deciding to create confusion. We have received the letter within this province, and I'm repeating myself for much of emphasis. In this program, 43 dealers officials are sending out letters to somebody and saying you have to stop operating because you don't have any environmental authorization. Now, this company, and it is coming from the department that in terms of the licensing process, they participate. Because we have an obligation in terms of the MDRDA that before we take a decision on environmental issues, we consult. There is also a requirement that before we take a decision, we can go out and consult with the public. So it is not quite interesting that after you have gone through that process, you receive a letter from a department that was supposed to be involved in that process, saying that companies will have to stop the operation. You know, you have to stop what's happening now. So what we are asking the portfolio committee, please, is to bring time to this process. Because it is getting way out of hand in the process of asking two overzealous in what we have to address. The principle is, we do not want to create additional costs. And one of the things that Cabinet has read many times, and is also part of our vision, is to look at the cost of doing business in South Africa. If you duplicate profit, you are going most likely to have to cost. The question that we normally ask ourselves is, why is it that in an environment where someone has to apply for a specific license, why is it that then, in the jurisdictional sector, you will assist the decision maker to take everything? In other words, those criteria that are set by the officials, the minister, to take a decision, why is it that one of them you have to apply for? So, why are you applying then? Are you applying for a marketing authorization then? And say, no, there is this criteria that we have to apply for. And so what should I apply them for a criteria that assists the decision maker to take that decision? So again, it becomes illogical. I would say it is appropriate possibly for power stations. Possibly appropriate for road builders. I don't know whether there is a requirement for if you want to build a road, you have to apply for a license and then build the road. It's appropriate there. But in the mining sector, there is already, if you want to align, there is one license that is issued. So there is no need to apply for another authorization for you to be licensed again. It is duplicated. So, Chairperson and Honorable Member, I know that I've spoken a lot, but it is in trying to contextualize the changes that you have. Number one, using environmental authorization in the mining sector does not make sense. Using environmental management program and environmental management plan does make sense in the mining sector. In the mining sector, companies are required, especially when you go into mining, and it is before, it is a requirement by law that you must conduct an environmental impact assessment. And before you conduct an environmental impact assessment, you must do a scoping exercise which leads to the scoping report. And it is at the end of the scoping report, ESA, that you then come up with an environmental management plan. So if in this process there is something that is outside me, these are the areas that we have to address. And the DME is not against it. Mining companies have to comply with environmental obligations. And I know that if there are members of the mining sector here, one of the things that has been raising around the regulatory environment in production around mining is that the DME has been too difficult to them in terms of environment. If you assess what has been saying, the DME has been too difficult. And you are going to be that way. Because no official in DME, especially on the regulation side, is in love with the mining sector, that it has to happen at all costs. The reason why mining does take place is because there is a benefit to be derived, not only in terms of jobs created, how to build. But it has also impacted on our daily living. Those of us who flew from Johannesburg to Cape Town today, none of us walked to Cape Town, otherwise we would not have a life today. We flew to Cape Town. And if you were to look at an aeroplane, you'll see that most of it is not off, it is not part of it. Comes from the minute. So, it does give us the good life that we have. And this is more in a joking way. Or in a more serious note, anybody comes to this committee and says that DME is against environmental management, I may use a strong word, it's not a good word. tienen que abrir o desesperar. Soy un chico hermano solo, rompiendo aquí, aquí también los blocos. What is happening now? Is that in the process of drafting in God, we are creating the future. And possibly, we are allocating power to ourselves. That parliament has already assigned to someone else. Thank you very much.
Maybe by next time, such as our community and by NRC. Regarding the presentation and proposal that was made by the National Treasurer, just to drop your memory with it, and the proposed flow from Treasury. It appears on the screen. It requires the minister in promoting and protecting junior mining. In a nutshell, to introduce some adjustments to the planting, renewal, and so on of the licenses. And they said also to us when they presented to the portfolio committee that the definition of mining, junior mining company, is yet to come. In the background document that was also distributed to the portfolio committee, this angle also mentioned to us, even though they are asking the committee to do this, they are still pushing with the staff within Treasury. And that when the study is finished, their intention is to replicate the Canadian experience that they know is working in that country in South Africa. And he also says that that the philosophy in National Treasury and in staff is to use tax incentives certainly to prevent certain ills. And that in their experience, the tax incentives are efficient when they are accompanied by a facilitating regulatory regime. What he means by that is that as the Department of Human Services, we should create the environment that allows for prospecting and other things that we regulate to happen. And only when we've got that in place, when our house is clean, then we can go to them and ask permission. And what he's doing, as he puts it, is to be proactive by coming to us and saying that as you do your own work now, and look at it so that tomorrow you don't stop and your industry. It was problem that then comes to Treasury and say, we now introduce tax incentives to help us because of the problem. This is very useful for us now. But because they have not yet put this tax incentives in their law, he then says to us that what he's doing is to create a state volume for when and if they do later on in August and September or whenever. At the end of the year, Treasury will be ready to introduce this tax incentive. This is by way of the background what was supposed to when it was presented last week. Now, the idea that they wanted to promote with the tax incentive is that of flow to share. And just briefly and simply, This is how he closely shared work. Investors or shareholders put their money in high-risk projects, such as prospecting and exploration, and they, in turn, not the companies they operate under, are allowed to take deductions on their invested capital. And this is the benefit of those leaders that they want to promote in the future. Now, when you look at this theory, Jefferson, this is the compensation for hiring. You can understand it as you, but if nobody would undertake unless they were promoted in some way or the other. Now, we have difficulties with this proposal that National Treasury is making. And just on the technical side, really, it is the fact that they have not yet formulated their views. They have no firm views yet on the concept of closed-loop shares, and they are still doing a study. And they don't know yet what it is that they are going to be defining as a junior mining company. Whether they are going to transplant the definitions and the concepts that are used in Canada and Australia and bring them wholesale here, we don't know yet because they don't finalize their study. But also, Chairperson, there is a chance that the study that they are undertaking may or may not support the tech incentives that they have in mind. Now our question from the department is, what then will happen to the provision that we will make in our law, making a base for those kind of incentives to come in if it doesn't come in? The industry might not look at it as a straightforward provision. They might want to enforce it. What then do we do? This is just looking at the idea and the proposal from the technical side. But even looking back to the content of it, as it stands now before you, we have difficulties. We think that tinkering with the law and introducing this discretionary adjustment that they want will create uncertainty. And of course, we've already said that. They have told us that they are yet to define junior mining companies. But the question is, how wide is this going? If it's narrow, it will be good, but if it is wide, it might perpetuate certain things that we don't want to happen in our law and in our industry. We are asking ourselves, what sort of adjustments are we looking for? Because that's what we have in the proposal so far. Is that the ones the ministers we have, this is threatened to adjust certain things in the law, but it doesn't quite say what sort of adjustments we'll be looking for. Now, in our view, it is unlikely that junior mining companies, and we have a few of them in South Africa operating already, it is unlikely that they have a difficulty with the compliance with the technical requirements, Jefferson, such as submitting an EMC, submitting a state plan, and things like that. It's unlikely that they have problems with it. We see it that what the adjustments that they are looking for are more around the DED requirements, or what we call DED. This is our view. And with regards to the perceived benefits, we also have a bit of a problem. Junior mining companies, as you know them, are commonly Canadian and Australian. The prospecting or exploration capital is very high and comes mainly from foreign countries. Hence, Jefferson, the shareholders in these junior mining companies are likely to be coming from these countries. They are likely to be foreign companies and shareholders. Yes, or this is again South Africa to put the requirement, but the shareholders will be foreign in the majority of them. Now, if that is the case, when you look at the intention behind closing shares, it is that the shareholders, not the company, will come and claim tax deduction. This is not going to be benefit of South Africa, because they will invest money in South Africa and go home and claim tax deduction to help those countries and take their money that time. So we don't see, not as if they can explain to us otherwise, what the benefit, the real benefit would be to the country, at least in terms of those we share. But we do know, of course, that prospecting that they will do will add something to the wealth of the prospecting information that we have in the country. We, however, do know from our experience with Jefferson that some of the mining, prospecting mining companies, whether they're called junior mining companies or just few prospecting companies, that it is not always that what they do is of benefit to the mining industry. Sometimes what happens is that they go, they prospect, they find the resource, they evaluate the resource, but then in the process they over-evaluate the resource, and sometimes it leads to the companies that are holding their rights and they sell it off. That in fact is a pattern that some of the companies that have gone and prospected and established the resources, those resources have not been yet brought to account because they have sold off, the money has been taken off, it has not gone back into money, it has not been reinvested. So they've taken the money, they've over-evaluated the companies and the resources, but the money is not there to be evaluated, it has gone into other things, such as buying expensive items. These are some of the problems that we've had with purely exploration companies. And it is just some of them, it is not all. Chairperson, we hear that if the tinkering that is required here by national treasuries would be around Section 11, it will possibly be the role to increase that. We would like the committee to remember that Section 11 does not prohibit sharing of shares or rights, but that only in one in Section 11 is that we should monitor reasons by giving them from time to time for our register. We are not at the stage yet in South Africa where we can promote exploration and projecting irrespective of black cities, and we fear that this proposal might be an encouragement to phase off a yet unachieved goal of industry transformation for foreign investment. Both of these things are important, but what we require is that they should be counterbalanced, and the system that we use within the department to reach a compromise between the two is by looking at the transactions as they come from time to time. In conclusion, Chairperson, we're saying that we have a problem with the proposal as named because the implementation challenges that have been outlined, we haven't got a solution for them yet. The timing is not right. And the question as to the extent of the benefits the countries have already mentioned is not very clear. The submission itself was made very late and it did not receive the public scrutiny. Rejecting it now doesn't mean that cultural centering cannot be produced through dialogue. But then at least in that case it will go through the public scrutiny. With regard to the national centering issues, Chairperson, that is all. And briefly on the community issues, this is how we have addressed the issues that were raised with us. We have widened the definition of community. And what I can refer to consultation in the law, in the amendment, we say that consultation will be done at 2 times. And what we mean by this is that we will not put it in this law, but we will put it in the regulations where we will say when it is that it must happen, how it must happen, what are the structures it must go through, and so on and so forth, and say also from the department what we need to do to satisfy ourselves and see if consultation has happened. That will not go in this law, but it will go into the regulations where it will receive the necessary attention. And we've got a thing as we talk now that is waiting on the consultation regulations. We have also gone to the climate protections of the UN and are saying that if the land that is covered by the application is also occupied by the community, then the minister would have the discretion to impose further conditions, whatever those might be. They could relate to EPP, they could relate to other economic development issues, but he would have the discretion to do that. This is what we have introduced in response to the LRC and the textual issues that were submitted to us. Secondly, you remember that you also have the Committees of Local Change and the Mboko coming before you. I think it was on the first day of the hearing. We are busy assessing their issues and meetings have been held, and we have very good progress. And we have met with the CEOs in some instances, and we are quite confident that we will make progress on these issues as well as we do. Thank you very much.
direct to the issue of environment, to then interchange mental remaining from treasure.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Joanne Yost. I'm from the Department of Environment, Sustainability and Tourism. And I'm the DG Institute Engagement Commission. And I wonder if I might have permission to very briefly deal with some of the issues that were raised prior to your deliberations.
I don't know who to see if there's a spot to see. One thing we're not going to do is to set procedures which we have not done in the past. When we say the department must come and clarify issues with us, if they have not done what they are supposed to do with their contract, we're not going to allow them. It's been a process, a hearing process. We are engaging them on what has been raised, particularly on matters of environment. The process that commenced on the informal negotiation. Can we hear any comment on the environmental issue? Well, if they are done, or if the
taking from the KK issue, saying there were letters that were issued. I'm not sure by which officials, whether it's from the whether it's the letter that was saying the capacity of operation. And whether that was coming from the authority, more wisdom online. Or issue of capacity are issues we get by the normal support. And the second thing is just that the situation is getting out of control. I remember that Friday was eventually there were competitive processes. So I'm not sure if you were saying we are heading to a situation where
that this has been an ongoing conflict between
conflict of interest or whether you feel that that agreement has been made. I think what is critical as well to me is that we need to ensure, I mean, I trust the integrity of the department and the credibility of the department. I'm sure you've been in the PMCA for a long time, and you are certain that you want to keep the integrity on that post. I mean, I completely trust that. I think that it's important, though, that we ensure that the way that the MPAs are conducted firstly comply with the type of conditions that we should also have in terms of the EIS as well. And I understand the mining is a different process, and I understand it's not the same as building a dam or building a power station. Although I would argue a little bit with you, and I think that a power station actually has environmental impact throughout its lifetime, so that it has to be managed as well. So, I mean, I think there's a little bit of contributing in the process. But I'll be assured that the kind of conditions that you lay out in your EPA are aligned with the environmental status I'm happy with as well, and you don't feel that there are certain amounts of integrity or approval of the MPA. I also would like to see in some way the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, as they are, you said that they're not in touch with the Constitution or the overall approach of the environment, but they are the ones that, even the government department, have to look at environmental issues. And I would like to see them have some authority or some say with the utility consultant, but I would like them to have some authority with regards to being able to say that you're not happy with this particular aspect of this, and we would like you and your capacity to deal with those environmental impacts. And just, if you can clarify some of those issues for us, just where they are in terms of the conflict.
Thank you,
Jeff.
Thank you.
the our regional authorities in Cape Town. On the issue of consultation, we did consult. And this was the discussion that we got to the authorities. They were each content of the answer. We agreed to this agreement. Consultation started June last year. And we keep on. There is a point in the life of government that you have to say, stop and continue. You cannot conduct for us. So we agree to this agreement. In the approval process, I think it's important that we don't come short, and I think this is more looking at the officials now, that we don't confuse the regulatory requirements with trust. Whether DME will be tough enough to deal with environmental issues. We are tasked by law to deal with it. And we are not going to shy away from the on the approval process, it is a requirement by law of Section 40, subsection 1, that says, when considering an environmental management plan or an environmental management program in terms of Section 49, the minister must consult with any state department which administers any law relating to matters associated with the law. We have never not done that. On the contrary, since the promulgation of the MDRDS, we have been frustrated by this. Because oftentimes the edge is 60 days, by the end of the 60 days you have zero comments from state departments. And we are not taking that, because it's part of the enriching the process. We make the thing. We may not see things that the others will see. So in that process we enrich. Now, if you then in the commenting process just say we don't agree with it, and you don't give a why on how it or indicate how it can be addressed, it becomes then difficult. Because the this person has said I don't agree with it. So we keep on those. There is no department that can allege or accuse DME that we don't do that. They are entitled to a maximum of 60 days in terms of the consultation process, but nobody also wants to do in terms of process. When the department raises issues, we go back to the African Council and assess. These are the instructions the officials in the DME have. Any department that raises issues around the government, listen to them and help the company assess. So we don't just go back and say, Department so and so is raised issues, ignore it. So we do follow process. But again, we basically say, if in the terms of the new development in the DRK, there is a lacuna in the DRK in terms of the NDRK, let them address that gap. And not just say, that we have to align, because it's a requirement that EIA must be conducted before you even go to an environmental management program. It is a requirement by law. But if there is a gap and inconsistency, that it can then be wrong, because there may have been latest development in terms of the EIA concept, and that one can be done. On the honorable law, he has not raised questions, but he made comments. Let me just emphasize. Let's not use legislation to regulate other departments. Let's regulate the industry. There will be a set of tasks to regulate, and not trying to see what other departments are doing, where they are doing it correctly. We've been tasked by the parliament to deal with this matter. We do that seriously as any other public servant has. We are not going to favor mining over any other economic activity. Our interest is there must be development. Whether it is through mining or something else, it is irrelevant for us. What we want is, in the process of assessing this application, we need assistance from other departments. And we are not going to shy away from them. This is the Western Cape Environmental department. We listen to them, but it becomes very difficult to listen to them when you ask comments and they don't come back to you. So what do then do to proceed? Because in terms of the NCRDA, we see the time frame. And we also know that in terms of law, if you take decisions outside of time frame, decision matters you have not taken in any decision. So time frames for us are very crucial. DME has been criticized, especially in the last year, those who have read the newspaper, that we are delaying application. I'm not saying that this is because of the environment, but there are time frames that we have to comply with in terms of our decision making. It does not mean that because we have time frames to comply with, that at the end of the day our decision is approved. If we have to receive an environmental grant, we shall do that. If we have to receive a financial ability grant, we are going to do that. So we, our take a decision in favor, if it complies, against if it does not comply.
Thank you.
That's why the initial question that I have, are we going to get different stages of formal relationship, given all the challenges that they have on the other side of the issue? Okay.
Yeah,
the
we will decide. Because it's not going to decide where we go from here. But two, today, we are on the informal deliberation. We are going to informal deliberation tomorrow. So that is our plan.
Thank you, Secretary. I don't know, of course, the issue from here, I don't understand. Here it says that the Minister of Minerals and Energy is quite competent to deal with the environmental issue of mining. So what is the problem today?
Let's get the question and then get to the next one.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of the letter is more complicated. I don't think that there was anything planned by anybody. As I was saying in my presentation, that it may be some general official that's been sending it, but for us, it is a matter. But it's more probable confusion that is remaining there. On the consultation, as the Chairperson indicated, will be guided by you. As far as DM is concerned, we have done what we think that supposed to have done, and it started in June last year. And there was always this exchange. But it is left in the hands of the ministry to decide on how far they go. Problem around completion. Difficult one to answer. Because DM is not a legend. DM is confident that the MDRBA empowered the minister to deal with matters environmental in the mining sector. This is coming from this possible within the context of alignment and harmonization. So these are the issues that one has to look at. But also in general responding to the question is, one has to look at the appropriateness of context. There is no fight over principle. We agree on EIA. We agree that there must be scope. We agree that there must be continuous management of the impact on the environment. There is no disagreement on that. Where DME is disagreeing is the usage of the term environmental authorization in the mining sector. We are of the view that the most appropriate one is the environmental management program for big operations, environmental management plan for small operations. If then there are elements within the environmental management program that it has concerns, it has concerns over, then you address that element. You don't need to amend the law to address those concerns. You say weakness in the content of the ENT, then can be addressed. You don't necessarily have to amend the law to address the weakness in the content of the ENT. So there is no disagreement in terms of principles. DME agrees that those principles of NEMA contained in chapter 5, we agree with. And we have adopted in Section 38.1 of the MDRBA as it is currently drafted. It's a recognized term. So we are not against. Just as we are saying, please, there are certain terms which may not be appropriate for us to use in a mining sector, like in our manner of progress. This is what we're saying. We're saying, if you were to look at Section 24.2, the issues of continuous management, monitoring, identify the area. Transversality, it is there. It is done already. So a repetition in you, all saying that it has to be in the form of environmental authority, it's just a duplication. What the So the challenge is around the issue. Should we use environmental authorization or should we use environmental management program? And the solution from BME was to create benefits to say, because there is one, we think that it is appropriate to use environmental management program. Number two, because it has been a concept that the industry understands, legislators, and the great kids, if NEMA is using environmental authorization, use existing provisions, that then links the two. So we are not saying we are not interested in, we're saying let's use a great existing provision that will say, recognize the environmental management program in NEMA as an environmental authorization. So we can then debate if we would give us the context of the environmental management program, the legislation has already set the framework. So we agree, as I said, we're taking the agree on the principles that is not in place over whether you should do an EIA or you shouldn't do an EIA or not. Here we agree with it, we have done it. Under the Mineral Act, the EIA process was optional. In terms of the MPRDA, it is not optional. It is part of the process. It is that. So nobody can come here to the committee and say, there is no EIA in terms of the MPRDA. There may be a difference. The question that we have to learn to see is, what are those differences? And address the differences. Rather than fighting over, use the same authorization of the main elements of the environmental management process at that. What you have to do is, what are the elements that you want to include that do with processes together? So competency is the argument of the competency one. Unless the portfolio committee then decides, or parliament decides, take out everything that has to do with environment and give it to him. Then the Minister of Minerals and Energy will not be competent. Then a designation in terms of NEMA is the most appropriate one. The Minister that loses those powers. But currently, the minister has those powers. Clearly, that the minister is being identified as a competent authority does not make sense. We also say, okay. Thank you for that.
If we are not here, people go to Dalama. How much is it take? And what should the department say to them? And I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say. Not standing at the broader level, not standing the issues still outstanding for all of us, the parliamentarians, on industrial policy. But what you are coming up here, I think somehow you think that we had a lot of time as the parliament and the committee. We don't. It doesn't matter what kind of the case is, as long as it is the case. That matters. I agree absolutely with the trainer when he says not only on the power station, but throughout natural environment has to be on board. You can't say we have reached the next, because something may crop up in the world. So I think that frame of mind, unless someone comes and tells me that ever since we promulgated MPRDA, fundamentally, or they have a problem with how GMP has dealt with the matter. Of the I think Pablo has summed it up when he said, in terms of progressive legislation, as it relates to environment, actually, what makes people in the industry angry about this department, mineral resilience, are issues around environment. No one is going to be. Why not? I mean, there is no problem here. Why not going to be that? Actually, we're not started with our program today. We're still dealing with this broad overview, the activity was already with us. As long as what we do takes into cognizance the issues of environment, as long as it takes into court with the issues of the constitution of their country, we're not going to be micromanaging issues. Imagine a situation where issues on mine, health and safety, every time I go to the health department. Issues of labor, every time I go to labor. What kind of a cumbersome document is that? We have issued an instruction to the department that people have complained that you are delaying the license. When this came to our attention, we have said, and that you must treat that up. We came and reported that you actually had done it. And the main reason for us to do this is to ensure that they are not working there. One of them was that working there. Why not? You see, even this thing, which you raised, some local municipality in Cape Town here, this is a matter of national competence in our revenge. And it must remain as such. Because once you introduce other things, you are going to have these red tapes you are not going to get anyway. And that must be it. If it means law to be fixed, I know this story. This story started some time ago, in another world, but yes. And our program at that time was in this very case. So we know this story. It's not a new thing to us. Doesn't come now as a new thing. And it's not going to, divert us from our attention. By the way, MPRCA for us is one of the fundamental pieces of legislation for transformation. And if you deal with it, you are dealing with the fundamentals, and this is one of the most progressive pieces of legislation of our country, which benefits the majority of the in the issue then becomes that we will continue to do what requires us, and we will have to do that without any hesitation. And one of the things I listened carefully to last week was when the chief state law advisor said we have been engaged in substantial meeting, may not be quoting verbatim, but meaning that there has been substantial meeting consultation of the conversation. So it happens well. You were the first one in the question. Is there any other on this point?
Raise the concern that as individuals in service owners,
also feel uncomfortable with the lack of consultation or e-learning. Can they accept that the same provisions or the same improvements that have been made with regard to community will also apply to individuals? And then just the last comment with regard to Acting DG did make mention of the position of national roads and the concerns that were raised by panel. Forgive me for raising this issue, but interestingly enough, I had a discussion with an official of Sandrol yesterday, someone who I didn't know, who said this is such a nightmare to them, that I really hope that this amendment will bring some relief to the frustrations that Sandrol is experiencing with regard to their project. If you would allow me, I would just like to mention this one example that he gave me. He said the N12, the road between Johannesburg and Kimberley, is in serious need for improvement, especially the part between Bloemhof and Christiana. I think that's the worst part of that road. Sandrol has all their stuff in a row last year in November to start construction, to start getting things right. But the only thing that prevents them from getting the work underway is three departments, D&E being the one, water safety in the other, and land safety in the other. And it has to do with the whole issue of guarantees, which I think there was a presentation about. So my question would just be, to what extent can we expect also improvement to the legislation with regard to the frustrations that have been raised by these entities, which are government entities, and which are there to deliver services to ease their work with the system.
As the point that I was simply referring to, we were supposed to have from the department head, it was related in the last
there's any country
FDA thought he can go the other side. And unfortunately, Mr. South African, of course, no way to go to South Africa belongs to us. And therefore, we appear to share the wealth of this country, like it was said in 1965. So I just wanted to know if there is any other country that has done this or has experienced this or not.
Yes.
Yes.
I just remembered about last week there was something on TV where it showed the community of Limpopo where land was being taken away by a mining company away from them. Locals, nothing, and nothing has been done. Is there anything that the government has done about this?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll just quickly go to the question that was posed by Honorable Steve. When we face this people's situation, we have that the sacrifice is own. Anyone who has a right to cover that receive the same treatment as the community. There's no differentiation. The differentiation here is the subject right goes. In the community, we as the community, but the same privileges will be the same. That's a whole part of the question. Quickly going to the Canadian model. I attended in 2006 in Toronto, the presentation by a number of Canadian companies, including no officials from the Ministry of Finance in Toronto. Their system is presupposing that there is no disadvantaged community or being in that house. Of course, in terms of their law, there is no such provision. What is really happening there is a junior mining company is given an opportunity to explore with funding that will flow through a tax incentive. They will incentivize prospecting. As you know, it's too risky in objective. And after the discovery, the prospector can hand over the license to someone else who will buy the entire, the files and everything. And that third party will now begin to think a shop and buy. So in our case, the difference here is we are dealing here with the legacy. And the legacy says that the person who has applied for license, there has to be a sustainability of that goal. Is his only, her only last plan, that particular license. Anybody can come and buy it, but that can just say after you bought something and say, look, we bought something, let's give you 50 rand and you must go. That's not the intention. Otherwise, you should defeat the whole object of the NPDRA. So, the variability that Keith was talking about. Actually, it can't be the same thing, but I also highlighted it. But I also said, if you want to, the Honorable Member of Parliament, you also see, this is the democratic state. But the element of the NPDRA is a critical, fundamental underpinning the transformation. You can't bring your money and then, even though people will be benefiting out of the exercise during prospecting, will not be the license holder. Will be the one who brings the cash. Is the one who's going to get, tax incentives, repatriation of, all the legal hair investment practice. And once they practice, a platinum, gold, whatever, or, a type, keep alive, then everything is finished. The license must go to the bigger company, and the bigger company will be for shareholders, and the DVD must get out of the way. That is the understanding, and that is how it works. Thank you. Because we need to put in the future. Thank you. things. Let's put an option. How is that?
But what we will do for all the subsidies or any other department, as we've already done for the Department of Water State, enter into the memorandum of agreement where they can make financial provision within the project cost sheet or within the project itself, if that is a way to end contract processes. We've already done that for Water State, for the dams and rivers and so forth and any other infrastructure. And we will do that the same for the South African Roads Agency.
Chairperson, I can just add that we increased this my sister has, I think I did it to Elizabeth in China last week. And we did agree that because of the important factors that we are performing in the national interest, that we could find a way of assisting them. But yes, it's correct. The principal of police have been attacked. They are the ones that are producing. We cannot put it on our budget with the international organization budget for the land that we're receiving the budget for. Now, how we will finally be able to assist them in the right of the city house they outlined for us to see the next house to tell them with us. But we just want to mention that whatever arrangement we come to with them, it doesn't have to go in the law. Because the way we are working, that there are four options for catering for financial guarantee, which can be a bank guarantee, it can be a cash option, it can be a trust fund. It also says that it can be any other method that our director general can approve. So whatever arrangement that we will subsequently agree with them that they will use, it will go and be covered by that fourth method. We don't have to introduce a specific arrangement for that. Also because they could change their mind tomorrow about the arrangement that we reach. So as they change from time to time, they will be accommodated under that general provision. But the process is which we can ask the next one. And we are waiting on the memorandum also of understanding. There was a question regarding whether the farmers and land occupiers will also be accommodated in the same way as our consultation. When we look at the consultation that we have in the legislation, it doesn't necessarily specific nation and communities. It says that consultation shall be with land owner, occupier, and then communities would probably come in then under occupier and perhaps land owner in some instances, and then stay with any other interest of an affected country. So these people will also be similarly consulted. And the reason why we're taking it to the regulations, as we have already mentioned, is that perhaps we will even at that stage be able to deal with the different categories of people or groups that must be consulted and see in which case which route we should be going. But it will all be there. There was a question of whether rather let me put it like that, that with regards to the presentation that was made on the communities of Limpopo and Makaniki, that there was not enough details given. I'm not particularly for this, I think I was perhaps with more at the time of the committee. But with regards to what the issues are on the community, they have sent us mainly around consultation or lack of it. They have sent us around or the representatives in lack of benefits being given to the communities and perhaps it is around increased reactivism on that thing of their presentation. That they are not seeing any benefits coming from there might be some kind of that are working with MMI for them. Now, with Limpopo, for example, the difficulty is that a lot of the companies that they are complaining about have already been licensed. And amongst the things in one of their requests was that they would like to do the mining themselves and to get rid of these companies. But the difficulty around that is that some of the companies they are complaining about have already been licensed. Now, when that is the situation, all we have to do is to find the best way of making them benefit from the operations that have been carried on in their community. And that we have already an instrument for, which is social and labor care. And we're using this more on the enforcement side because the undertaking to them to make sure the campus is being licensed. So we are looking more at closer and stricter enforcement of the social and labor care obligations that the companies, those that have already contracted or have got immunized and would have made. With regards to issues around consultation, our discussions with the mining CEOs came to that consultation was done, but perhaps from our observation it was not adequate, and that is why we're going to the law to detail how consultation in future should be done, so that we would also have the comfort of knowing that it was done in the right way. And that was one of the issues around consultation. Issues of equity will also be dealt with regards to companies that are yet to apply for new license or to apply for operation. For the ones that have already been licensed, it's already a problem. There was an issue also around, I think the remaining remarks from MCO, around a EEE not paying to get charged, I think they are previously in Sultan. And that's why we have given the response we have with regards to the presentation that was made by the club and sector. Junior mining companies, there was a question on that. And I think the recommendation was that we must find a way of assisting them. I would just like to make a distinction between junior mining companies and small companies that are operating in the country. They are not part of the same. Junior mining company is actually a concept that is imported into this country. A lot of them that are operating are already, not everyone, but those of them that are operating in the country are already companies. And the concept works as a regulation. Their intention is not to mine. They come, they establish the resource, they evaluate the resource, they'll put it in a company, they'll list the company in some cases, and then they sell off. But their intention is never to mine. They have local companies that we have that are getting difficulties. A lot of them would have gone into frustration because they want to mine and they have problems of cash flows of money going forward. We are seeing that we must find a way of looking those ones. With regards to the junior companies that we just determined to use by themselves, it is a matter that we still await more information and clarity from. As the DC has already said, XMDC, we are not projecting it, but we are simply saying that we don't have enough information to accommodate it yet. With regards to, I think there was a question on the relocation of the community that appeared on TV last week. I don't have the latest information, but I do know that the NCOP had a meeting with them in the regional office recently. But again, it is an area where, as I understand it, originally there had already been some agreement with regards to the location. And the problem is when they now have to implement it. But the national office, together with the premier's office, are working on this matter to see how that they can be achieved. Because the company has already been licensed, and according to some arguments, we are ready to originally to do the relocation, but the problem comes in when they now have to pay for the relocation. Again, it seems back on the consultation is that you talked about, the marketing consultation and perhaps it comes on the other case. Thank you very much.
But the challenge that Lucas has put to the department is in line with what I said last week, that whatever you look into on this proposal should not affect Section 11. So, why is this need of people with licenses and permits to be funded? It has to benefit people in this country. So that it's not a situation where people don't even have an interest in mining, don't have any interest about the fundamentals of Section 11 and MPRPA as a whole, as it relates to the mineral section of the Act itself, does not benefit people. That's not at all the it would need the time. I had a note here from the acting DG that is believing that the tribe is going to Pretoria. We will break for 10 minutes and come back and deal with the evaluation. Thank you.
Follow me to the office if she wants to.
Which one? Which one does it stand on? I don't know if you need to.